Hello and welcome back to another episode of Bases Loaded. This week we will be covering the NBA Conference Finals, which got underway on Tuesday. We have the NBA Lottery to place also Tuesday. It was before game one of the Nuggets and Lakers, like a half an hour before that game started. And then we'll do a little MLB kind of, you know, recap and stuff like that, and that'll be it. Unless, you know, I think of something else off the top of my head in the moment, but that's what we got for this week. So, diving into conference finals, like I said, they started Tuesday. Tuesday night in Denver with the Denver Nuggets in Los Angeles Lakers. And then on Wednesday was the Eastern Conference Finals between the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat. We are two games into the Western Conference Finals, with the Nuggets winning both games at home, and only one game into the Eastern Conference Finals, with the Miami Heat taking game one on the road against the defending Eastern Conference champion Boston Celtics. So, stuff like that. I think maybe we might dive a little bit into, like, the NBA lottery, because that took place before then, and then we can, like, I guess, transition. Is it a good transition? But it's my transition into conference finals, discussion, reaction, all that jazz. So the draft lottery took place on Tuesday, like I said, before game one. I don't know if that's how they've always done it. At least I know that's how they've done it for, like, I don't know, maybe the past decade or whatever. You know, the draft is, I believe, June 20th or 20, somewhere on the 20th. It's usually like about a week or so, depending on when the NBA Finals ends. So it's usually around that time. But they did it. It was held in Chicago, and it's not like the NFL where, like, you know, the worst record, it's first overall pick, and then so forth, and then, like, you know, if there's, like, tiebreakers and stuff that need to be sorted out and stuff like that to do that. But the NBA has, you know, a draft lottery where, you know, if you have the worst record in the NBA, you get, you know, the best percentage-wise chance of getting the number one overall pick. And then, you know, so far, so forth and on there. So we had, I think it was the Detroit Pistons. It might have been Orlando. I don't know the other team that had, like, the best chance. They all had, like, I think it was, like, 14.5% chance to get the number one pick. The Spurs wound up getting that number one pick. I don't know what their chances were. I think they might have had, like, you know, percentage-wise, like, you know, they were definitely in the top five in terms of percentage-wise of getting that pick. And then, you know, they draw it. It's already, like, been drawn beforehand. It's just, you know, someone is just, you know, they have an envelope, they open it, reveal it, you know, and stuff like that. And then there's, like, you know, also, unlike, you know, the NBA or NFL, like, if you trade picks, you know, you don't have to, like, you know, because it's not a lottery, so it's not like, you know, if it's in, there's special stuff that, you know, for some of these picks, like with Chicago's pick and then the Dallas Mavericks pick would have been, like, if it fell outside the top four, Chicago owed that pick to Orlando as a result of a trade. If it was a top four pick, Chicago would have to keep it. And then for Dallas, I believe, as long as it didn't fall out, if it fell outside of the top 10, they owed that pick to, I don't remember who, but it wound up being number 10, which is what, you know, their odds were to begin with. So they wound up keeping that pitch. So it can get a little confusing because, like, yeah, they'll be like, you know, we'll trade you this player and then we'll give you a draft pick that's, like, you know, lottery protected or top four protected or something like that. And, you know, there's chances where, like, you know, they can, like, owe the rights and they'll be like, you owe us, you know, future first round pitch. And it'll be like, you know, it can either be like, you know, the 2025 or 2026 one. But, like, you have to give us your first round pick for one of those years. But, like, you know, you get to decide. So, you know, there's stuff like that. And then, like, but, like, pretty much up until, I think, like, you know, we got to, like, the top five, it pretty much went as planned. Because, like, they'll do that up until, like, they do lottery picks 14 through 15. And then, you know, the top four is, you know, revealed after commercial break because, you know, we got to build suspense and stuff like that for the picks. So Houston, maybe they might have been the other team that had the best chances at the number one pick, too. It might have been Houston, Detroit, and Orlando. That could be it. I would have to look, you know. But that kind of seems right considering with where those teams are right now as organizations, you know, in need of rebuilding and stuff like that. But Houston got the fourth pick. Portland Trailblazers got number three. Charlotte Hornets, number two. And then San Antonio Spurs won the first overall pick, which is the third time I think they've had it. They had an 87. They drafted Duncan Robinson. And then they had a 19. I think it was 97. They drafted Tim Duncan. So it worked out pretty well in regards to those picks. Both helped them win multiple championships in their careers. And, you know, they have a chance to draft another, you know, center with their first overall pick. As there seems to be, kind of like NHL, there seems to be a very consensus number one overall, like, draft prospect type of thing. A 7'5" center from France, and I think I'm going to pronounce this right because they were talking about it, so I kind of heard it. Victor Wembanyama, something along that, I believe. You know, as we did closer and stuff like that, I'll be able to pronounce it like a lot of people will, but I believe that's how you say it as of now, having heard it a couple times, but I could be wrong. But yeah, he's like, they're calling him like the best draft prospect since LeBron James, so obviously high praise. He's playing like a French league, I think, something, you know, or maybe it's a European league or something like that. I don't know how it works over there, but, you know, they got that kind of like thing. So that's another thing with, like, I mean, the NHL also does it too, where, like, you know, they have like international prospects, and then I think they kind of have like a developmental lead type of thing. And then, you know, you have your college hockey type of thing. Same with like the NBA, like, you know, they have the players that were in the college. They have, like, international players. And then they have, like, a G League, which is, like, players that didn't go to college but, like, still want to, like, you know, play. So I just, like, they're kind of, like, they don't want to do the college basketball experience type of thing. But, like, you know, they're still updating that. They're still playing and, like, you know, they're developing as a, you know, draft prospect and stuff like that. It's basically what, like, they want to go into the NBA, but, like, they don't want to do, like, you know, college, I believe, is what it is type of thing. So yeah, definitely kind of like a high, you know, little pressure on your shoulders, but like the Spurs are very well led organization, you know, Greg Popovich as coach and just, you know, coaching staff and all that stuff. I guess they're building like $500 million like training facility and stuff like that. That'll definitely help, you know, Victor in like his journey. And, you know, they've had some, like, you know, interesting, like, kind of, like, players, you know, players on the team currently. But now, you know, you have a chance to get a once-in-a-generation talent at a center position, you know, 7'5", you know, obviously with that, you know, wingspan, stuff like that, you know, defense, blocking shots, contesting shots, rebounding, it's going to come, you know, pretty easy. So, and then I'll give you something, especially in the West, you know, you have like, Nikola Jokic on the Denver Nuggets, you got Zion with the Pelicans, you got Anthony Davis with the Lakers, you have a bunch of like, you know, power forwards and centers, so like, you know, as a rookie, like, you know, he's not be able to, like, you know, lead them to the championship right away, but, you know, developing, like, as a talent and stuff like that, and, you know, from there, like, I haven't really watched, any highlights of it. Just like, you know, they kind of do, like, you know, as him being, like, the number one draft prospect in the draft, you know, there's, like, you know, scouting reports and stuff like that that are, like, you know, on the internet, because you can look at it, stuff like that. So, it's definitely an interesting prospect, you know, in regards. And then, because, you know, he'll obviously be playing right away. I mean, all of them will be playing right away, you know, unless, you know, they have, like, an injury and, like, you know, the off-season training programs and stuff like that that they do during the summer. And then, you know, they kind of pitch up in, like, late September with, like, training camps. And then, you know, they do some preseason games for, like, a couple of weeks. And then, you know, the season starts, you know, around Halloween, early November type stuff. So I don't know, like, when his whole league that he's playing in Europe, in France, like, ends. But, you know, I'm guessing he'll be there for, you know, draft night. Usually, like, lottery, you know, draft prospects that have, like, lottery potential are usually there in person and stuff like that, you know, to hear their name in person, and then, you know, being able to, like, you know, be with family and stuff like that is, you know, pretty, you know, cool experience. Because, like, you know, MLB, you know, baseball, you're getting drafted, you know, drafted number one overall, you're not playing for maybe a year and a half to 2 years, maybe two and a half, depending on, like, you know, if you have an injury or something happens along the way. But yeah. So, does it tell me when it is? Okay, Thursday, June 27th is draft night. And, you know, there's only two rounds, so it is just that one night. It's not like NFL, there we go, where, you know, it's 3 days, you know, of drafts. I think it might be the same with hockey. I think there's only, like, maybe two rounds or something like that. I don't know. And then baseball, I think there's only 20-something. There used to be 40. Like, 40 was the draft. And then, like, you know, COVID and, like, kind of, like, have limited, like, you know. I mean, you that's a lot of players to be drafting. I mean, there's an organization, but, you know, you need, you know, organization depth and stuff like that, and you had, like, chance to develop. So I think they've lowered it to, like, 25, I think has been what they've done in the past, like, I think two drafts. Because, like, you also have, like, an international draft. I think your draft, international signing stuff. So you have, like, international signing money and that you're able to, like, dish out on prospects and stuff like that and sign. So there's that, too. But, you know, NBA, there's just one night, it's two rounds, and stuff like that. So, you know, we're still a month away. You know, there'll be, you know, obviously we, like, mock drafts and stuff like that. Like, we pretty much know Victor Wembanyama is going number one, but, like, after that, it's kind of, like, an up in the air. Like, you know, I saw somewhere it's, like, you know, had this player at number two and then this player at number two. And then, you know, number three was, like, you know, the person who wasn't number two and stuff like that. And so many kind of stuff like that. As, you know, people kind of, you know, think about, like, what this team at this position is, you know, maybe has a need for. Maybe they have, you know, a, you know, spot to, like, you know, maybe take someone with some, you know, potential that you can, like, develop the player and stuff like that. So, you know, they got a month and 3 days to figure it out. And then now going to what happened right after the, you know, draft lottery. Team one of the Western Conference Finals, Denver Nuggets, Los Angeles Lakers. Like I said, Denver won both games. Definitely more close, competitive games. Like last night was game two, and, you know, Denver, I think, was losing by 11 points at one point. Came alive in the fourth quarter. Like Jamal Murray was making, I think, made like five consecutive three-pointers that he shot. They opened a lead, and I think Denver kind of, like, you know, let the Lakers hang around a little bit, like they did on Tuesday. They won by five last night, and they won by six on Tuesday. So, and then, like, yeah, like, Tuesday they had, like, a pretty decent-sized lead. And then, like, you know, they came back, the Lakers did, and then, like, you know, they were able to, like, you know, keep them from, like, you know, from taking the lead, and then, like, you know, obviously, and then winning that game, winning last night, coming back from only, like, I think it was 11 was the most. There might have been, like, you know, maybe 12 or something like that, but it was definitely kind of that lower double-digit numbers. So they win, you know, both teams at home, like they did in the second round matchup against the Phoenix Suns. Now, you know, they're going to try and win at least one of these games on the road in LA, and not do it they did to the Phoenix Suns, which is, like, you know, when I went to Phoenix, Phoenix won both those games, to, you know, tie the series, and then, you know, it's went back to Denver, where the Denver Nuggets won, and then, you know, game sits in Phoenix was pretty much a blowout. So they advanced to, you know, another Western Conference Finals, which I believe is their first one since the 2020 like bubble playoff that they did in Orlando. And I guess, like, speaking of, like, the Orlando bubble, like, the interesting thing with, like, these conference finals this year is that's the exact same conference finals in regards, in terms of, like, teams playing, as it was in that bubble in 2020. So we'll see if it's, you know, the same teams in it. I kind of hope not. At least I hope not the Lakers. But, you know, we'll see otherwise. Because now, is it? Okay, game three is tomorrow night. So they're kind of, like, one day off between games, which is kind of standard. But the NBA is also weird, so I didn't know if maybe there'd be 2 days off because, you know, it's a travel day to a different, you know, arena and stuff like that. So, like, maybe they do, like, some travel time, stuff like that. But I guess we're just doing one game in between. But, like, you know, pretty much the stars so far have come out in this Western Conference Finals, you know. Jokic is doing his thing. Jamal Murray is scoring, I think, over 30 points in both games. I know he did in game one. Maybe he came close again in game two. But I think he did. You know, LeBron and Anthony Davis were doing everything they can to at least win one of those road games. We had Hajimura, I believe is how you pronounce his last name, was, like, pervert from the field for, like, a while. Austin Reeves was shooting some threes, so Lakers are getting some production from, besides, you know, their big, you know, duo, which, you know, is doing what they're going to need. But, like, you know, if they're playing home, you know, have the home crowd kind of in it. Denver crowd, they were in at times, but, like, you know, as, like, the Lakers made, you know, runs and stuff like that, you know, it took them out of it and, you know, all that stuff. So we'll kind of see, you know, how Denver responds to playing on the road this time while having a 2-0 series lead, and, you know, how, you know, LA responds being at home crowd, stuff like that, you know, playing in an arena you're familiar with and all that stuff, you know, sleep in, like, your own bed, all that stuff. So, and then we have game two of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight in Boston. Boston trying to even up the series at one game apiece after losing game one at home. You know, obviously being the defending conference champions, you know, not how you want to start game, you know, the series. They lost by 7 on Wednesday. I recorded it, or I had it set for my TV to record it, you know, live as it happens, so I could watch it, you know, when I get back from trivia on Wednesday. But I think it was like maybe into the third quarter I was watching. I got like a notification from like the Athletic and stuff like that. I was trying like not to look at it, so I'd like, you know, because I have like, so I opened my phone and trying to like, you know, not look at it, but like it didn't, you know, go away right away. And like I saw the thing where it was like, you know, Butler and the Butler Heat take game one. So I mean, I did wind up watching it because like, you know, to like watch it and try to see like how. Because I didn't know the score, so I didn't know if, like, you know, if it was a blowout, was it close, all that stuff. I mean, it was 7 points, so, like, you know, definitely a close game and stuff. But, you know, not, you know, not ideal for Boston. So we'll see if they can respond. Like, they didn't really play good defense, and, you know, because, like, Miami would be able to, like, counter pretty much everything Boston was doing, and like Boston wasn't able to really stop Miami that well. Jimmy Butler put up 35 points on him. You know, a bunch of other like bench players that put up like, you know, double digits, stuff like that. Tatum with 30 points, Jaylen Brown 22, Malcolm Brogdon was the third leading scorer, 19 points, two out of four from three. Stuff like that. Marcus Smart with a double-double of 13 points, 11 assists. But yeah, they kind of need to play, you know, better at home. I think they'll respond. They should. But, like, you know, Miami taking game one is not a whole surprise. You know, you have Jimmy Butler. You have Eric Spoelstra as head coach. You know, that coaching staff, all that stuff. You know, definitely one of the better organizations in the league, you know, along with like the aforementioned Spurs and stuff like that in regards to them. And then, you know, probably the other, you know, being like the Warriors and stuff like that. So we'll see. That's, I mean, nice thing now is like, you know, we're in the conference finals, so it's like, you know, it's one game a night, you know. And they start at like 7:30, which is, I think, also what the finals start at too, or like, you know, the NBA finals and stuff like that. So, you know, you have, like, you know, time before the game starts, and, like, you know, it's over at, like, 10-ish. So, it's kind of like, you know, about Thursday or, like, Thursday, Sunday, and then Monday night football game, where it's, like, you know, starts at, like, 7, you know, 20-ish, 25, somewhere on there, you know, and you're done by 10:30. I think it's actually like, you know, 7:40, because like they say 7:30, but like, you know they're still doing like some pregame, you know, talk and stuff like that, and, you know, waiting for like the officials and stuff like that to, you know, officially be ready to start the game and stuff like that. So it's usually like 7:35, 7:40 type of thing, you know, somewhere around there usually. But yeah, it is nice to kind of just watch one game. I mean, it is nice to have, like, you know, back-to-back games, like there would be for, like, you know, the round two games and like the conference semifinals. And then, like, you know, like, round one, like, the first, like, you know, weekend, it was, you know, like, four games in a row, which is, it is fun to watch. Because, you know, I'll never not watch any, like, I'll never turn down more, like, being able to watch as much sports as possible. But, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, we'll see. You know, I expect Boston to bounce back. Nuggets, they can win one game on the road. You know, that's a win for them. You know, they can pull off both and sweep, you know, L.A. in L.A. That, I mean, you know, be pretty amazing. So I think, you know, they're the high seed remaining, stuff like that. So, like, you know, they would host, you know, they would have game one of the NBA Finals. If it comes to that, when would be game... So, like, game seven would be Sunday, or game seven, Lakers, Nuggets would be game seven, would be May 28th if necessary, and then, you know, 29th for Heat, Celtics if necessary. And the NBA Finals start Thursday, June 1st. At 7:30, stuff like that. So, like, yeah, same time as these conference finals and stuff like that. So, next Thursday we'll have we'll have at least through game four for both conferences. So, like, you know, we'll see what happens after four games for both series. And now transition to baseball. Another week. You know, some kind of stuff. I don't really know a whole lot of. I don't think there was really any. Like, nothing major news. Like, nothing, like, you know, like, crazy thing. Nothing crazy happened. I think we might have had, like, a no hitter going into, like, the seventh. I think over the weekend. But, like, we haven't had, like, I mean, no hitters so far as of yet. We've had a cycle, I know, this year. Cedric Mullins of the Baltimore Orioles hit a cycle. I don't think we've had, like, anything other than a cycle has been, like, the only, like, you know, feat that's been, you know, achieved this year so far. As we're, like, a month, almost 2 months into the season. So we'll see. I mean, you know, we've usually had a no-hitter, stuff like that. We usually do. I don't know if we had one last year, but, like, you know, people definitely have came, you know, close, which is, you know, because, you know, like, I have the MLB, you know, at-bat app, so, like, you know, if it gets to, like, seventh innings, you know, of, like, a no-hitter per game, like, you'll get notified and stuff like that, and then, like, you know, so stuff like that, but... we haven't really had anything crazy like that. Division races, I think it looks like every team that was in first place last time we talked baseball is still in first. Looks like it. I mean, the only thing I can think of that would possibly change is that Milwaukee overtook Pittsburgh for the NL Central lead. They have a one game lead now. That might be the only thing that's, like, that actually changed. I think everyone else is kind of the same. It looks like it, yeah. But, I mean, we had, like, you know, kind of a NL West, you know, showdown over the weekend with the Dodgers and Padres. I believe the Padres got swept by LA. Let me check. I believe so. So that'd have been, like, you know, getting swept on Mother's Day. What a fun. Yep, they did get swept. On Mother's Day. So, you know, they're 7.5 games back now. The division. LA, Arizona, they're half game behind San Francisco for third. Stuff like that, so, you know, there's that going on for it. You know, let's see, they've played 44 games, so, 162, you know, you still got 118 left, so, you know, definitely, you know, we've seen it happen before, you know, teams kind of put it together after the All-Star break, or, like, you know, maybe before the All-Star break, you know, they're able to start putting it together, and they just don't want to run the, you know, post All-Star break. either win the division, you know, make the wild card, go on to make the World Series type of thing. Like recent examples would be like, you know, the 2021 Atlanta Braves. I think they were below 500 for a while. I know the 2019 Washington Nationals, they were below 500. They were like 10 games, 10, 11, 12 games, something like that. Games below 500, you know. They go on it, a run. And then, you know, they were a wild card. Won the wild card game. And, you know, just went on, you know, to win the World Series, you know, beating the Houston Astros in Game 7 in Houston. You know, and that was their first year without Bryce Harper, so it's kind of funny in regards to that, that, you know, they lose Bryce Harper in free agency, and then, you know, they go on to win the World Series, their first World Series as a franchise, which is funny. NL Central, yeah, like I said, Milwaukee's taking one game division lead over Pittsburgh. St. Louis has played a lot better. They're 6 games back, which, I mean, it sounds like a lot to be down that many games. But, you know, like, you can make up those games in, like, you know, no time. And then, like, if you play Milwaukee or something like that, a team that's ahead of you, fans, like, yeah, you can make up, you know, 2-3 games in the stands, stuff like that. Cincinnati, you know, is tied for third with my Cubs, who've lost 5 in a row. The last 2 against the Twins, and then they got swept by the cheater Astros. They were winning 6-1, I believe, for the third game on Wednesday, and then, you know, they got walked off. And then they got blown out on Mother's Day, which sucks because, like, my mom is, like, the reason I'm a Cubs fan, stuff like that, is her mom is the reason she's a Cubs fan type of thing, so. But, I mean, I can't be, it sucks, but I can't be, like, too mad because, like, my great-grandma was a big Twins fan, loved Kirby Puckett, so, like, you know, the Twins are my second favorite team. But, you know, if there's ever, like, a Cubs-Twins World Series, I will be, you know, I'd have to have Cubbies, but, you know, obviously. But all the other divisions have changed, like, I'm trying to, like, you know, like, I did watch that Sunday night game, like, Fox does, like, Sunday Night Baseball, I think, or something like that. Or Baseball Showcase or something like that. I almost like whistle there for a second. And it was Padres, Dodgers, and, you know, so I did watch that. So I pretty much had to, like, try to remember that these games are on, otherwise I will forget, and stuff like that. Because, I mean, you know, I thought, like, you know, that you would do, like, a Monday Night Baseball or a Wednesday Night Baseball, something like that, but, like, I don't know if maybe they're waiting until, like, you know, after, you know, the kind of basketball playoffs and NHL playoffs kind of, you know, wrap up type of thing. I think that might be why. I think it might be because of hockey playoffs. Because, like, TNT does NBA. I think ESPN does maybe the Eastern Conference Finals or something like that. But I know I've seen, like, you know, stuff on the ESPN for, like, you know, hockey playoffs. So maybe that's why. And then maybe once they end that, they'll, you know, start picking up, like, you know, some Monday and Wednesday baseball. So maybe that's it. And then, you know, I'd be able to watch, like, a little bit more baseball and stuff like that, which I will be happy to do. So, yeah, I think that's it for this week. Next week, you know, we'll put more names into this NBA Conference Finals type of thing. I know, like I said, hockey's also in their conference finals. So, like, you know, we're going to have, like, the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, you know, pretty close to being the same, I think, probably the same time, around the same time type of thing. Let's see, when it is. Oh, it doesn't have a start date for the Stanley Cup Finals. But, you know, so that's kind of interesting. Weird, I guess, at the same time. I would have thought. That's weird. I said I'd be around like June 1st or something like that. So, you know, next week, basketball, conference finals, some baseball, whatever else I think of in the moment, maybe, or something like that. So, thank you for listening and have a good week.